We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
This kind of life that God has prepared for us, Zoe, the God kind of life, was not a trivial thing for God. You know, it wasn't something that God did on a whim, or that God thought, you know what, it'd be a good idea to try this out for him. Now, this was the plan and the purpose of God, and it was why Christ came, was to allow us to have a certain kind of life. And it's the Zoe life, it's the God kind of life. And the way this life looks is, as we walk with him in obedience to him, we get an increase. And not a one-time increase, but a perpetual state of increase. It's glory to glory, and that's what I want to talk about today. My sermon today, I want to talk to you guys about increase. And I know this is a faith-believing church, and it's evident as much as what we do in this church and the people in it and the lives that are changed from it. But needless to say, I think this is an important thing for us to talk about, because as we're talking about the kind of life that God wants us to live, it's imperative that we know that God's not looking to take you to one stage and then be done. That's not his mindset. You know, I wasn't even prepared for what Jill was going to do for the thing this morning, for my picture. But you know, there's stages to where God wants to take you, and there's an increasing stage in every season of your life. And I love, that's why I love so much about, you know, as we're talking, you know, Kelly was praying over us as we were taking communion, and he said, even today it's fresh. And that idea that the sacrifice that God paid for you paved for you a way of perpetual increase, glory to glory. And this, it's said as much, the word talks about not being conformed to the patterns of the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that there's new truths, there's new aspects, there's new events for you to experience, there's new things for you to come into contact with. And it's all in God that we have these experiences and this increase. That means, by the law of opposites, without that, we don't get that. Without God, we don't get that increase. We get saved. And there's an initial step and stage of our increase. We're no longer sinners. But without remaining in God and remaining in that step and step relationship, we just see it as a one stage, one time event. That's why so many people, when you talk to them, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And what do they go to? Well, I got saved whenever I was six. Okay, well after that? Well, I go to church. What I want you to know this morning, this is a great joy and encouragement to you if you're that person, or if you're stuck in that spot of, I don't really, there's more for you. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It goes on to say, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, what? That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God's not interested in your increase being a summer when you was 13. Or a really good church service 2 years ago. Or, man, Easter Sunday, wasn't that great? God's not interested in your increase being left as a one-time event, that the only time you ever visit something like that again is whenever you pine for the good old days. Or remember when, back a long time ago. No, God wants to bring you an increase today, an increase tomorrow. And what does God want to increase? Your stuff? No, he wants to increase his kingdom through you. He wants to increase the aspects of you that are in need of the increase. How does his increase come? And everybody, God? Well, yes, his increase comes through him and through his power and his anointing, but his increase in us comes through us remaining in him and obedient to him. See, our goals must be God-centered. So should our increase. We're looking for God's participation, and what we really need to be thinking about is am I permitted by God to seek increase here? There's a lot of people that think, oh, well, I really wish God would. Is that an area that God's called you to increase in, or is that an area that, boy, you're sure really wishing that you'd be increased there? You guys get what I'm saying? It's easy to step out of the boat to an area whenever you know God's called you to step out into that area. It's easy to step out and do something in faith when you know God's called. When he's called you to something, he'll get you through something. But we start getting real nervous whenever we're like, I don't know if this is God or not. We got to open up our ears and open up our hearts. Because we can get so centered. And again, there's nothing wrong with seeking increase in business. I want you to know that this morning. There's nothing wrong with seeking increase in health goals. Please know that this morning. There's nothing wrong with seeking increase in, you know, whatever kind of, you know, you're looking to own more real estate or do this or that. I want you to know there's nothing wrong with any of those. You want to drive a nicer car. You want to have a nicer fishing pole. You want to, what? There's nothing wrong with having nicer stuff than what you got right now, but is that what your life is centered around? Is that what you're trying to increase in? Because increase just for the sake of increasing is the same mindset as a cancer cell. Just going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until it deprives the rest of the body of the nutrients, of the blood, of the resources that it... And eventually what happens is it just leads to death. Is the area that you're looking to increase in something God's called you to increase in? Is it God-centered? Is it a good thing that you're pursuing? Or, because without it, there's no true increase. I want to give you some peace, too, on this, that because a lot of times, okay, well, then it's us. And we've got 1 Corinthians 3:7. It says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now, that doesn't mean, well, we just lobber on up there to God and he's going to slam dunk it and make it work. However, what we've got to know is ultimately it's God who brings the increase. It's God who brings the increase. It's not dependent upon how good of a parent I am, how bad of a parent I am. I do my best to fulfill what God's called me to do, but ultimately I'm praying and believing that God will bring the increase in my children's lives. Because I'm just a man. I'm pretty great. But I'm just a man and I will fail. I will make mistakes. I will slip up. I'll use the wrong terminology. And then on the other side, I'll allure to something different. That's the inside joke between me and Mel. As you can tell how loud she laughed at that. We slip up. We miss it. And what you got to know is God's not going, well, I was going to pull through for you, but then you messed the whole thing up and now I can't bring any more increase into your life. Here's what you got to know. It's God who brings the increase. Amen. And when we're pursuing God, he continues to allow us to have access to those things we're seeking increase in. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Look, God knows your heart. God knows your heart when you tried and you messed up. God knows your heart when you got upset and you reacted and you should have thought more. God, my heart wasn't. God, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. We've got to have our delight in the Lord, not in the area that we're seeking to have increase in, or else we'll get blinders up on what God's wanting us to do and then what we're trying to pursue for increase. An increase attempted without God will bring someone pain, church. An area that you're seeking increase in without God will bring someone pain. Maybe you, maybe your family, maybe your friends. Someone eventually is going to pay the cost of you not pursuing what God's called you to pursue. There will come a time. And what I want is, I want to see the people of God know, though, that their lives can go from glory to glory when they're with the glorious one. That's when your life goes to glory to glory, when you're pursuing the glorious one, not when you're trying to pursue this vain thing or that vain thing or that. Where's your delight? I want to ask you this question. Right now, what goals do you have for increase? Just take a second. And this should be everybody in the room, prayerfully. You have some goals that you're looking to accomplish this year. If you don't, get some. But my next follow-up question to that is, why? Why? See, I believe that why question is a great question from the Holy Spirit for all of us. Why are you doing that? Why are you pursuing that? Why? Well, because it'd be really cool if I, man, it'd be really great if I, man, if I could have this boat that could go this fast and carry this many people, I tell you what I could be doing this summer. I'm so excited. Why? Please, I'm not trying to convict anybody. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to establish, do you know the whys behind the areas that you're seeking to increase? Because let me tell you, if it's not something that God's called you to increase in, you're going to find yourself frustrated and upset at it by the time you get. God, whenever God gives a blessing, there's no buyer's remorse. When God gives a blessing, there's no buyer's remorse. You're not ever second guessing whenever God does something in your life. Well, I guess it's already happening now. No. See, you don't have to get to a place where you're caught up chasing what I call like, it's like a WWE championship. Spoiler alert. It's not real. All the drama, all the buildup, all the inner behind the scenes, it's the step back, the fall, the jumping off the top rope, it's the aluminum chair, it's all, everything built up and built around it is just not real. We're on Facebook. It's the same kind of, we're getting excited, we're getting pumped up, we're oh my gosh. I'll never forget whenever I watched The Undertaker give someone the tombstone pile, and I thought he's dead. He killed him. My favorite wrestler, dead. Next week, they're up wrestling around again. Well, how'd that happen? It's the same thing. We ride this roller coaster of emotion built off of hype and this and that. And really all it is just, it don't mean nothing. Now please, if there's any WWF or E fans in here, they're like, you don't understand what they put their bodies through. I get it. I grew up watching that. I get that they, what I'm saying is though, it's not like a real fight. And so many times we as God's people get our eyes on the fake fights and the fake pursuits and the fake routes to our goal, to our increase, and we miss out on the things where we really should be spending our time trying to cultivate ourselves in the Word, cultivate our godly relationships, cultivate the Spirit within us, because that will give us a prize. What'd Paul say? I don't fight like a man beating the air. I don't fight for something that's not going to provide for something. There's deeper meaning behind the actions, behind the words, behind, because the increase that I seek to bring is a godly increase. See, and that's what the world tries to get caught up on. It's the ozone layer, it's the LGBTQ, and sometimes Y. It's all a fake facade as to things that really matter. They'll really get to I forget the term that they use, but they don't use the term illegal immigrant. They use like it's but they try to change the meat because this is what we've got to focus on. This is what we've got to care about. None of that really gets to the heart of what really matters. We can't fall for that. We can't get suckered in. Psalms 89:34 says, "I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered." What we need to know is we're not going to get suckered into thinking that God's not good one week because we got caught up chasing some vain pursuit. God is still going to be for us. He's not going to break his covenant. Rather, he is the fulfiller of what his word says. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Look, our life, our goals, our guidance, our peace, our growth are found in his name and nowhere else. So we have to see that we should be increasing. Whenever God's Spirit is there, there is freedom. When there is freedom, there is increase. There is growth. And it's sustainable. It's life-giving. It's not like some vain pursuit. It's not like chasing after something else. What it is it provides something for the next generation. God wants you to increase. And while there's a million ways and a million different books and a million different things, I'm going to specifically highlight three main types of growth that a person can have through the Lord. And I believe these three things are as much as of importance to a 25-year-old as they are for the 75-year-old. Because this never stops. Your lives will go far beyond what it ever could if we'll grab onto these three areas. So today, three areas of increase. Y'all ready? The first area of increase that I want to talk about is increase through subtraction. Increase through subtraction. Now, some of you are like, what do you mean? What I'm trying to say is you can't increase until you decrease some of the you-ness that's making you not be able to increase. John 3:30, put a little bit more eloquently, it's, "He must become greater, I must become less." Now this flies in the face of what the world says, which says, well, I should be true to myself. Just be you. Don't, you're a terrible person. Be different. You're incredibly selfish. The last thing the world needs or wants is more of your selfishness. See, there is a higher standard that God has called us to through his word that provides areas and avenues for us to increase, but we can't get to that increase until we decrease some of the things that's keeping us from our increase. We've got to cast off every sin, the Bible says, that so easily ensnares us. See, that's a gift of our new creation. See, before you were bound to sin. Now, you have the ability to wriggle free out of sin because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We cast that off. I cast the way I think about my job off. I cast the way I think about my spouse off. I cast the way I choose to think about myself off. Because I serve a greater purpose. My delight is in the Lord. My pursuits, my increase, the areas that I'm looking for, I'm increased through God. I'm going to decrease some of my unhealthy relationships, some of my unhealthy habits, some of my poorly timed, poorly planned out, poorly paid for hobbies. Well, you just don't want me to have any fun. You just don't want, well, what's this all about? You want me to not be me. You don't want me to do half a good time. You don't want me to whatever. You can't experience increase because you're selling your soul trying to buy the whole world because you're trying to experience the cult because you're, for the sake of your life, for your family, you need to experience some decrease so that you can increase in some other areas. You can't experience the increase because your hands are filthy and full of what this world is trying to get you to grab a hold of. You've got a log in your eye and you can't see where you're going. You've got to increase through decrease. 1 Peter 2:11. This is living godly in a pagan society. This is some instruction. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." The things that you are doing are making you run away from God because of the shame that does not come from God, the condemnation that does not come from God, are filling your hearts and minds and making you question whether or not God wants you around. And this ain't an old trick. Genesis in the garden. God calling out to Adam and Eve, "Where are you? Where are you?" We hide ourselves away when our hearts get full of condemnation and shame. We're not pursuing forgiveness. We're not pursuing our right relationships because we're so full of how we feel like we've failed God. The reason why you don't need to trust in your heart is because your heart is dumb. And some of us, our brains are dumber. We've got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to be led by the Spirit. And we've got to decrease our emotional response to things. And we've got to decrease our attempt to try to understand God and lean into the way He designed us to truly worship Him in our spirits. Because as our spirits are made right with God, our hearts are made right with God, and our thoughts are made right with God. We've got to consider that, again, while we need to get rid of the sin in our life, God's not just calling us to decrease or lay down our sins. That's a given. Don't sin. Some of us need to learn to lay down some of our will. That hurts. But I want you to consider what the Word says in Luke 22, 42. This is Jesus praying in the garden. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." I want to give you an encouragement this morning and something that you need to know. Jesus wasn't laying down his sin to God. Jesus didn't sin. What Jesus was laying down before God was his will. "God, I know what's getting ready to happen to me. And it's not going to be enjoyable. Lord, if this cup can pass from me, take it. But Lord, not my will be done, your will be done." Consider, if Jesus Christ can lay down his will to not die a horrible, sufferable death, do you think for the sake of your family you can lay down going out and buying that bass boat for a couple more years? I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be. But do you think you could lay down your will just for a little bit? Consider. Consider. Yes, you've been called to lay down your sin, but God's also called you to lay down your will. We got to lay it down and lay it down willingly. The second area of increase that I believe that God works through is increase through addition. Now, for all you people that hate math, addition's real easy and subtraction's real easy. We just talked about subtraction. Addition means to bring more in. We're going to add more to. The thought in this is you need more. Get more. You need a little bit more of what? What are you in lack of? Do you need more wisdom? Do you need more peace? Do you need more of the Holy Spirit? Do you need to be more worshipful? Do you need to be more joyful? What are you in need of? Where do you find yourself going, I need that? And I'm not talking about that new gun. It hurts to say. But what are you in need of? Do you find yourself constantly critiquing other people and getting burned up with anger at the way that some people behave? You need to get some grace. Or you're going to find yourself real short with everybody around you and then not wanting to be around people. The only problem with that is God's called you to be around people. You're going to find yourself frustrated at the people in this church. And real short, you're going to find yourself not wanting to be at this church and going to another church. And then at that church, guess what they got at that church? People at that church just like people at the church just left. Then before too long, after five or six churches, I'm not going to church anymore. The only problem with that is you've been called to be a part of a church. It's the only problem with that. Well, God didn't hurt me. The church hurt me. Get over it. You're just going to have to come to a place where you get over that. And the way that you get over that is by increasing in some mercy and some grace, some compassion. And maybe the problem isn't with everybody else. Look, and I'm not trying to say that your mama lied to you about how great and about how awesome and about how perfect and about how you do no wrong and about how... But sometimes mamas don't always tell the whole truth. Except for my mom. The reason nobody wants to be your friend isn't because they're all terrible friends. The reason why no one wants to hang out with you isn't just because you've got kids. The reason why you're having a hard time getting and keeping a job isn't because everybody who works a job is... You know, one of the things that cracks me about this culture right now is everybody hates landlords. All landlords are evil. Anybody who owns real estate or charges rent. And the reason why isn't because all landlords are evil. It's because people don't know how to pay their rent. Look, you need to get a hold of something. You're saved. I'm not trying to tell you that you're not saved this morning. What I'm trying to tell you is you need an increase. You want to know a good place to start? The fruits of the Spirit. Well, I don't need nothing. You're trying to, it's everybody else that's got the problem. Okay, let's just read through these. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you hate everybody. Joy, and you're miserable all the time. Peace, you're full of anxiety. Forbearance, you keep every grudge on everybody. Kindness. When's the last time you did something for somebody else and didn't expect nothing back? Goodness, faithfulness, gentle, you're screaming at everybody. Those things don't necessarily bring salvation, but what they do allow for is sanctification. And you can't even hope to get to a place where you can contain the increase that God's ready and willing to lay at your feet because you don't have capacity to receive it. You've got to increase through addition. You've got to get to a place where you can manage. You've got to get to a place where you're responsible. You've got to get to a place where you can. God wants to bring increase. We've read it. And it's He who does the increase. However, are we going to accept it? Or are we just going to accept the things that we want to accept? Are we just going to accept the things that we're ready to accept, that we're willing to accept, that we're excited to accept? Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Get it. You don't got it? Get it. That's the beginning of it. It's not a one-time deal either. The beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. It goes on to say, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." So many of us want the glorious crown and the garlands in areas that we want to increase in. What God's trying to say is, I have a way and a pattern for you to get the things that you want, but the only way that you get something that's sustainable is for you to start with wisdom. You've got to ask God for it. And a lot of times people don't ask for things either because they think that they won't receive it or they think that they've already got it. I'm not going to ask for something that I think I've already got. That's the problem with us trying to judge our lives solely on external features or Facebook posts or how big is our truck or how. We've got to use the Word to judge. How are we doing on those fruits of the Spirit? How are we doing carrying our cross daily and walking after God? How are we doing there? Because that's the real test about what we need to add and what we need to, y'all with me? And we know that God's faithful to pour out. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." God's not holding nothing back. God's not got a door shut to you. No, He's ready. And the last area of increase, before I come to a close here, is God brings increase through cultivation. Increase through cultivation. So here's what I want you to get on this. You don't need to lose anything more, and you don't need to add anything more. What you need to actually do now is work with what you have. You need to actually work with what you have. You need to cultivate what God's given you. You need to grow with what God has entrusted you. But you're going, well, Chapman, you read earlier that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, but only God is the one that makes things grow. Well, I get that. God's the one that makes things grow, but you don't have to actively fight Him in the growing of what He's trying to grow in your life. Well, I don't fight God. I'm not trying to. I want you to consider my house, my lawn. I can have the gas can sitting on the mower, have my mower sitting on the grass, and leave it, and that lawnmower, can you believe it, will never just go and mow my grass? It just won't. I don't know why. But there's something magical about me hopping on the machine and it being full of gas, and me turning it on, and then me mowing around with it, that my grass will get mowed. Some of us are like that in this room. God has given you the teaching and teaching and teaching over the area that you are looking to increase in. And you've got sitting in the spiritual garage at your house. Boy, them weeds are getting real tall, God. When are you going to go out and cultivate what God's given you and see the increase? But It's further down in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 3 that God, it talks about us being co-laborers with Christ. So while, yes, God's at work within you, are you at work with God within you? Or, well, God will bring the increase. Don't fight him. Don't fight against him. But don't go in the house and sit on the couch and wait for God to mow your lawn. Cultivate what God's given you. We've got to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think so many times we focus on that scripture and we think about just sin. I think there's a lot of times where the Holy Spirit is like, please get off your rear. Please. And we're praying, God, send holy, fresh fire. God, send somebody who can be a good speaker at church today so that it livens me up enough that... And the Holy Spirit's like, when are you going to go up to the altar and pray? When are you going to try something different and come on up and cult? When are you going to take a step of faith? I've given you my word. Your heart's actually prepared to receive it. But you won't take it and put it in your heart and then water it and keep it and tend it and let it grow. We've got to cultivate in order to see our increase. You know every single thing there is to be about being kind. Why don't you try being kind? You know everything that there is to know about the tithe and about, why don't you try actually tithing? Well, why don't you try not making your life centered around the areas that you want to see increased and more about what God would want to increase in you, and then be shocked at how when you seek the kingdom of God first, all these other things shall be added unto you. Increase through cultivation. Proverbs 9. Now, I love what this says. It says, give to a wise man wisdom, and he will yet become wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. See, you can give to someone who is wise, and you know what they'll do? They're not going to sit at home and do nothing with it. They're going to apply it to their life. You give to someone who's righteous, they're not going to just sit at home and put it in the spiritual garage. They're going to apply it to their life. They're going to prep their heart to do. First John 2:27 says, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. So that anointing that everyone in here who is a believer and has the Spirit of God within you, you don't need someone to reteach you about it. It's in you. You've got it. But it goes on to say, but as the anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it taught you, remain in him. That remaining in him isn't a quiet doing nothing, well, just existentially just remain in God. No, it's the walking out daily, doing the things that you're required to do, the action behind what you believe, saying what you believe, thinking about what you believe, reading more about what you believe. That's the remaining in you. And then when we do that, Matthew 13:8. And then verse 23 says, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. In verse 23 it says, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands the word. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The increase comes when we cultivate. That's understanding. That's doing. That's remaining. That's an action, not a state of being in your mind's eye, thinking about, visualizing where you want to be in the Lord in 30 years. It's living it out. So in closing, I just want to say this. 2024, Zoe Life, is a life of increase. And that increase is going to come not just because everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. It comes because God is faithful to us. And like what Philippians 1:6 says, it says, being very confident of this, that he who began a work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ. All that, we've got to allow God to increase us in the areas that we need decrease, increase us in the areas that we need addition, and to increase in the areas where we just need to cultivate what God's given us. Amen?
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.